trench.
Well, so.
Then he's gonna cut the roots off to my tree, so I'm killing.
Keep the wires up from there.
Really?
Yeah.
And then put the pipe in.
But still, people got shot. There's more people.
That's not an option. Anybody can replace the concrete. That's up to me.
Yeah, that's definitely a concrete.
They're standing.
Yeah, that's how.
Who wants to do?
Really?
Keep more wires. Rip it up.
So I got two thumbtacks.
So he needed $13,000
into the wall.
Biggest chunk of.
Across about.
Part of the wood part that was covering.
Because they watched.
That's a little. Here now.
Just wrap the wire around. Even if it's.
$13,000. And he wasn't gonna do nothing, fix nothing then. He said, we're gonna take care of the wall. He'll have to take care of the concrete.
2 weeks ago.
I got the time.
They got light out in front of the camera.
Well, insurance.
So I drilled a hole.
Corroded.
They got a limit on it.
Yeah.
The wires.
They got $10,000. That guy's out.
Yeah.
Totally out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then I bought a clamp thing for my mouth.
Can't understand what's happening.
It is.
The hole, I could only make it.
Read the story.
Yeah.
It's right there, black and orange.
So I think the one way is more. You got that one, tear out that one section of driveway.
I told someone that last week.
And then I was like, okay, well.
I said, be careful.
I gotta find somebody.
Now, Oregon.
I know they're out.
You have heroin, cocaine, magic mushrooms, all that stuff. But if you pump your own gas, they'll throw you in jail.
Yeah, that's right.
No, oh yeah.
Well, you want magic, that's a pretty good size for amount of money.
So here's the bigger one that I have around here, but I have one.
You can snort cocaine with a paper straw.
I know there's a few across my backyard. I was out there, jumped like a.
Where's the other thing?
Yeah, the straw, the plastic straws against.
Tinkering was laying another.
I just invited it, try it.
For the internet.
Probably work.
Really?
The whole ground would just shake for that.
It just makes no sense at all.
Circle.
Yeah, it just shake the corner like you was in an earthquake. It felt just like an earthquake.
Yeah.
And you came back and see it, and the ground would even move. And they was.
Just one.
That lake.
It's just to charge it, and then charge you. The other one is.
Still trying to need to see it. And I went out there and stood on it. See what it felt like.
Yeah.
It's so hard, bizarre, you couldn't even make it.
Just like you were working.
You knew that in Hollywood ever did.
Yeah, you made that story 30 years ago, people said, no, stop.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
I don't know where they all come from.
Nick, I believe Martians, but not that story.
Yeah, I believe Martians land before outside.
Yeah.
Like that.
Jeremy, come on in.
Well, I thought I'd just ask you.
Yeah, also.
That was.
Joe Boo.
Put the decal on the little guy.
The reason why he wore the suit.
Jason.
Oh, man, there he is.
Well, when I was talking to him, talking to him over there at your office.
Yeah.
I was thinking he was going to have to go down through the pipe.
Oh, yeah,
right.
You guys well, got not with the
skills. All around.
Yeah.
We just kept it on.
So I wasted my efforts to put the sleeve on.
Oh.
That was my intention. You see the pipe I took out? So I put in
Well, everyone tested it, right?
And they're telling me that I'm supposed to be doing that. All that thing's going
on. It's 2022. It's 2021.
And I was like,
why were you paying it to member?
I don't know why. It's cold water.
Yeah.
I just kind of said, know that they do mostly like one inch out, but I don't know.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Sunday morning service at Shield of Faith Baptist Church. And it's great to see everybody here this morning. So we'll just get right to it and turn to our hymn books. Grab our hymn books and turn to song number 229, Since I Have Been Redeemed. Great song. I haven't sung this in a long time. 229, Since I Have Been Redeemed. I have a song I love to sing. On the first,
I have a song I love to sing since I have been redeemed of my Redeemer, Savior, King. Since I have been redeemed, since I have been redeemed, since I have been redeemed, I will glory in His name. I will glory in my Savior's name. I have a Christ that satisfies since I have been redeemed. To do His will, my heart. my Savior's name. On the last, I have a home prepared for me since I have been redeemed, where I shall dwell eternally since I have been redeemed. Since I have been redeemed, since I have been redeemed, I will glory in his name. Since I have been redeemed, I will glory in my Savior's name. Amen. Brother David, we open this with a word of prayer, please.
Dear Father God, we just thank you for just leading us all here to congregate here together on this Sunday evening, or Sunday morning. And Lord, we just ask you to please bless the service this morning, and bless Pastor Jones as he comes forward to preach the message that you laid on his heart, Lord. And Lord, we just ask you to please bless the service today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. All right, I like that song. Glad we sang it. Let's go ahead and turn to 246, redeemed. So we have, since I've been redeemed, now we're going to do redeemed. Amen. 246, redeemed. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. On the first, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Blood of the Lamb, redeemed, redeemed, his child and forever I am, redeemed and so happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell, I know that the light of his presence with me doth continually dwell, redeemed. By the blood of the Lamb, redeemed, redeemed, his child and forever I am. I think of my blessed Redeemer, I think of him all the day long. I sing for I cannot be silent, his love is the theme of my song. By the blood of the Lamb, redeemed, redeemed, his child and forever I am. I know I shall see in his beauty the King in whose law I delight. Lovingly guarded my footsteps and given me songs in the night. By the blood of the Lamb, redeemed, redeemed, his child and forever I am.
Right. Well, good morning. Welcome to Shield of Faith Baptist Church. If you didn't get a bulletin on your way in, just raise your hand and we'll have somebody get you one. And also, before I start, there's a vehicle outside that has a drink on there. So if anybody came with some kind of a Black Rock or human being beverage, it's on the top of your car. So I just noticed that when I was checking to make sure no one was hiding out in the room back there. So just, yeah, it's out there. It's a cold drink, too, so it'll still be cold when you're done. So, yeah. So you're good. Yeah, don't feel bad. I've done that a million times, so. All right, let's see here. Let's go through these announcements. Yeah. Weekly church service time, Sunday mornings at 10:30, Sunday evenings at 6, and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Underneath there, some Bible verse says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Our soul-winning times are underneath that. And so just to make it simpler, the only time and location that does not change is Saturday mornings meeting right here at 10:30. all the other times listed below, you have to actually contact the person in charge of those times to get the location and all of that information. Now, we are starting a Mountain Home soul winning time, and that's going to be next Saturday. Okay, we're still having soul winning here in Boise. But the way that's going to work is Brother Kevin and Brother Skulk are going to take turns. Because of their work schedules, it's going to be a little bit difficult. But between everybody there, they're going to be able to set you guys up with a time and location. So what we're going to do is we're going to use the WhatsApp. Okay, and so if you're interested in soul winning in Mountain Home, you'll see me or see one of those two guys and get the information. And like I said, the location will probably be pretty much the same every week, but the time may change depending on who's available to go. But we wanted to set something up down there because there's a lot of doors to be knocked and a lot of people live in Mountain Home. So I'm looking forward to that. 208-391-5323 is the number to call. Let's see here, back page. So tonight we'll be should be finishing up 1 John chapter number 5. Then we're going to roll right into 2 John chapter 18. I'm just kidding. Yeah. Okay, let's see. What's next? New Testament Bible Reading Challenge. Hopefully everything's going well with that. In honor of our three-year anniversary, come join us Wednesday, February 23rd at 7 p.m. for Pastor Roger Jimenez. So he will be here. That's going to be a soup potluck. So bring your favorite soup or dessert to share. And so normally we move the Wednesday service to Friday when he comes, but it works out better for him if it's on an actual Wednesday. So it will be Wednesday that he is here. And looking forward to that. We should have a video coming out here pretty soon to explain all the details with that. Let's see. Before that is, on February 12th at 3 p.m., is Melissa's baby shower. So baby Vic is putting that together. Baby Vic's coming. So we're looking forward to that. And Mike is having a blast putting together that baby shower. So it's exciting. All right. This week's memory verse is Proverbs 16:19, which says, "Better is it to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud." And we are a family-integrated church. What that means is we don't separate children from their parents for any reason. Daddy baby room is right over here. The mother baby room is right across the hallway. And you can always use this room over there, too, if you need to. Let's see here. Tithes and offerings for January. Don't forget to turn your phone off or place it on silent so it's not a distraction during the service. And finally, the very bottom line says, we should resemble lively stones, but sadly, most Christians resemble tombstones. And that was from last Sunday morning. So with that being said, we're going to have one more song before we receive the offering. All right, let's grab those hymn books one more time, please. We'll turn to song number 100, Day by Day. Let's lift up our voices again. Song number 100, Day by Day. On the first, day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart gives unto each day what he deems best, lovingly it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Every day the Lord himself is near me, with a special mercy for each hour. My cares, he wouldn't cheer me. He whose name is Counselor and Power, the protection of his child and treasure, is a charge that on himself he laid. As thy days, thy strength shall be immense. This the pledge to me he made. Help me then in every tribulation, so to trust thy promises, O Lord, that
consolation offered me within thy holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meeting, e'er to take as from a father's hand. One by one, I reach the promised land.
Amen. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Thank you so much, Lord, for allowing us to be able to meet here this morning. I just pray that you bless the service, Lord, and bless the fellowship afterwards and everything that we have going on today. And again, we thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.
Everybody can turn their Bibles to Luke chapter 15. All right. And when you get there, starting at verse 1, the Bible reads, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and the sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners, and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he hath cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons, which need no repentance. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And he said, A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with righteous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will rise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Am I no worthy to be called thy son? Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was hungry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as thy son was come, which had devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Jeremiah, can you pray for us?
Thank you, Lord, for giving us the opportunity and privilege to be in the church that preaches the whole gospel.
All right, amen. So we're going to actually study the story here of the prodigal son. I was talking with Victor Batt before the service. A lot of people like to use the prodigal son to teach that you can lose your salvation, right? And if anybody ever comes at you with that, you know, your first response should be, you know, hey, he's already a son. Okay, he was already a son when he did this. And furthermore, we can all find ourselves, you know, on the spectrum here of what the prodigal son has done with his backslidings. But just to start off here, let's look at verse number 17. So verse number 17, it says, when he came to himself, this is the prodigal son, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? And so, like I said, we're going to actually focus on the prodigal son conversation that he has with himself, okay, and with his father. Because so what happens here, obviously, we just read the story. He decides, you know what, I want to get my inheritance a little bit early. He goes out, and through the course of riotous living, he blows it all, okay? And then he gets to this intersection of life where he realizes, uh-oh, I've messed up, right? And we've all been there, and it's like, what do we do at this point? Right, we can either apologize or we can go the other way and try to rationalize. Now, the title of the sermon is actually a title of a new series that we're starting today, which is called Apology Theology. Okay, Apology Theology. I've had this on my calendar for like 6 months. I've been waiting to preach this, and so I'm finally happy to get it off. Scratch that one off there and start to go through these things. Now, we're not talking about apologetics. That will be mentioned next week because that's a whole other can of worms. Next week's Sunday morning sermon is going to look a lot like Wednesday, so it's already going to be like this cup here. It's going to be a little bit bad, but it's good. I think it'll be edifying. So apology theology. We're going to take a look at what an apology is, what it is not, why should we understand these things. And here, you know, here's a good reason, right? Most of us, all of us in here, were taught one way or another how to apologize, probably from a very young age. Okay, but apologies can look different to different people. Okay, and as I've been studying this, I realized I've messed up. Okay, there, you know, I've always wondered, like, I've made apologies to people, and it just feels like they just can't let it go. Like, there's just still something there, right? And after really researching this and thinking about it, I figured out exactly what that is. And we'll go through all of these things this morning. But, you know, this is something that I think is very, very crucial to saving and to building, rebuilding relationships, something that we all need to be skilled at. Here's a quote that I do want to read for you, though. It's from Henry Kissinger, the Jewish God-hating global elitist, okay? Here's what he has to say about apologies. And I want you to listen carefully because this really sums up the way that the world's going, okay? The world, as you know, and the Bible talks about it, is basically taking on this identity that, hey, you know, to each his own, right? The Bible says that in the last days that men would be scoffers, people would be lovers of their own selves. And really what I'm about to read to you that came out of his mouth explains a lot of people today, okay? And just listen to this. Here's what he has to say about the subject of apologies. He says, accept everything about yourself. I mean everything. You are you, and that is the beginning and the end. No apologies, no regrets. Okay, no apologies, no regrets. And this coming from a God-hating reprobate. Okay, this guy, if anybody's got some apologizing to do for murder, for promoting all sorts of wickedness, it would be Henry Kissinger. Okay. Now, obviously, I don't want to take the sermon off too far into that direction. Keep your place in Luke 15, but if you would, go to Proverbs chapter number 11. But again, that really, you know, that's not just him. That is the, I guess, the attribute that the devil's sowing in society today. Okay. I was just scrolling on Facebook yesterday and talking about this with Jessica. And, you know, we ran into a post where somebody pretty much had said this exact same thing, just worded differently. You know, this person saved. And I was just like, what's going on here, man? You know, this thing is absolutely rubbing off on other people. And so we need to be aware of it. And like I said, you know, as I've studied this, I've realized, man, there's so many people that I've got to apologize to. I'm definitely in debt and I'm never going to get caught up. I'm just going to be going to the grave with it. So I'm taking what I learned from this and just moving forward and just rolling with it. You know, it is what it is at this point. And if you're anything like me, you're probably in the same boat, right? And I think we all could say that. And let me also just say this, okay, and this applies to everybody. If you haven't apologized in a long time, like if you're sitting here thinking, like, when was the last time I apologized to somebody? You're probably wrong, okay? There's probably something going on. And that's the biggest thing that I realized when I went through this and started studying. But let's go on here. So Proverbs 11:2. I want you to look at this verse here. Proverbs chapter 11, look at verse 2. It says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. And we talk about this all the time. But with the lowly is wisdom. Okay? So back up for a second. When pride cometh, then comes what? Then comes shame. Right? This verse absolutely describes the prodigal son. Right? He gets his inheritance. He's happy. He's got no cares. He's like, this is going to be great. I'm just going to go out and have some fun. It's not going to affect me. Little did he know it wound up almost ruining his entire life. I mean, think about that. He blew his entire inheritance, okay? And it wasn't just that he blew his inheritance, but what else did he blow? Well, he blew everything that he had. He blew relationships, he blew all sorts of things. And so what happened? Shame, right? And this is where the intersection comes. We have a choice when we wind up in this situation. Like I said at the beginning of the sermon, we can either rationalize it or we can learn from the Bible what we're supposed to do and actually apologize for these things. And then the last part of that verse gives us the answer, right? This describes literally what we're about to learn this morning that the prodigal son does. It says, but with the lowly is wisdom, okay? Well, what's a lowly person? Well, somebody who's humble, right? It's somebody who chooses humility over pride and arrogance. Now, you can leave your place there. We're going to come back to Proverbs, but go to Psalm chapter 138. Psalm chapter 138. So the big statement this morning is very simple, and it's this. The humble apologize and the proud jeopardize, okay? The humble apologize and the proud jeopardize. And you say, well, what do the proud jeopardize? Well, they jeopardize everything. They jeopardize their reputation. They jeopardize their relationships. They jeopardize their marriages. They jeopardize their jobs. They jeopardize their resources. They jeopardize everything. Because this is what happens when we become a people that just says, you know what? I can do no wrong. You know, and really when you think about it, this is what Uncle Sam's doing to society, right? By enabling people to get away with extreme wickedness, right? The public school system. All these laws being passed. Like I was talking with Brother Lonnie this morning, you know, about the coke and the heroin and the meth and all the stuff that's legal now in Oregon. You know, how do you think that's going to be in another 10 years from now? Okay? You think you're getting a lot of soul winning done there? I don't know. You know, it's hard to say. I would still go soul winning there. I don't really care. But, you know, it's going to make things a little interesting, to say the least. Right? I mean, and that's just one example. You know, we talk about this all the time, the abortions, right? Texas decides, you know what? We're going to ban abortions. Uncle Biden says, well, I'll send my little baby trucks down there, you know? What are you doing here, man? What's going on? Well, obviously, the devil's getting more and more control over the world in using this idea of enabling people to commit wickedness. And so now you have a bunch of people that we're surrounded with that are proud and they jeopardize everything. Okay? And this is everybody in here has been down this road. So I'm not picking on anybody in particular. I'm just simply saying that the Bible teaches that the humble apologize and the proud jeopardize. Okay? Just something we need to understand and be aware of. Think about King Saul. Right? Saved. He believed God. Right? But, I mean, think about it. How many apologies did he make to David? Several, right? But they were garbage apologies. Okay? You know, I'm sorry I've sinned. Right? And then a little bit later, you know, he's trying to stick him with a javelin again. Right? I mean, think about that. Was he really humble? Was there any humility in his apology? No, his apologies were obviously lacking several things, which we'll look at. But you're there in Psalm 138. Look at verse number 6. It says, though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. So you say, why do we have to understand that? Why have these silly statements? Why talk about this subject? Because we need to realize that this is going after the heart of God, right? The Bible says he's not a respecter of persons, okay? But he obviously does have respect for a class of people, a people that decide to live lowly or to live in humility. And so we need to understand that because like we've been learning on Sunday nights, we do not want to have our fellowship affected with God, right? It affects everything in the believer's life and it's painful. Go to Proverbs chapter number 3. Proverbs chapter number 3. I mean, this applies to every class of people, okay? Though the Lord be high, yet he hath respect unto the lowly, okay? Who's ever knocked on the door of somebody who's been of a lowly and humble spirit but didn't know they were saved, right? I would say that God definitely had respect on that individual so that you could be there that day to give that person the gospel and get them saved, right? But what happens when you knock on someone's door and they're proud, right? Most of the time they might listen, might, but they don't ever get saved, do they? No, they're just like, teach his own. I ain't apologizing for the way I am. I'm me. I'm going to do me because I watched a David Goggins video. I listen to these warrior podcasts. You know, I listen to Tony Robbins, right? And he said, I don't make apologies for nothing. Okay, that's the way of the world. You want to be a Henry Kissingerite? Then go ahead and go down that road, okay? Proverbs chapter 3, look at verse 34. It says, surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. And I don't know about you, but I think all of us could definitely use a huge measure of grace in our lives. Go to Proverbs chapter number 16. Proverbs chapter number 16. It says this. Proverbs 16, look at verse 19. It says, better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly. Okay, see, that's how those words connect. When you see that lowly in the Bible, it's not saying that you need to be like a Shaolin monk and just give up everything, give up all your relationships and start doing all this crazy stuff. No, it's somebody who is humble. It says in verse 19, better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. And again, that's what the world's doing today. That's what the elite want. That's their goal. That's what they want to accomplish. They want to take from us everything, not just your money, but they want to take your very values from you and divide the spoil amongst themselves. Now, go to Matthew chapter number 11. Matthew chapter number 11, and then we'll go back to our story. So the humble apologize and the proud jeopardize. Hopefully you're starting to see now the importance of this subject in understanding this, right? We want to be a people that are in favor with God. We want to be in fellowship with him, okay? Matthew chapter number 11, look at verse number 29. We read this the other day, but it applies greatly. Look at what it says. Matthew 11, verse 29. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Okay, obviously, let's stop right there. His yoke is easy, okay? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It's simple. But then his desire is that we would continue to learn from his word, to learn from him. So he says, and learn of me. And notice what he says next, for I am meek and lowly in heart. and ye shall find rest unto your souls. So when we learn how to do this, and we understand that this is how he is, we want to be like him, okay? This is how we're going to find rest for our souls. Because when we're proud and we're arrogant, our relationships start to splinter. They start to fall apart. There's all kinds of trouble that goes on, and what does that do? It just provides anguish for our souls. It just makes things terrible, complicated. You guys know this. I don't even need to repeat this. Go back to Luke chapter number 15, and we will move on. So I've got three things for you this morning that we're going to focus on here on how to make apology. And like I said, next week will probably be a whole lot more interesting to you. But anyways, we got to get through this first because this is the introduction to the series. So let's start again here in verse number 17, Luke chapter 15. So again, the prodigal son says this, "And when he came to himself," again, a place that we have all been. Okay. Typically, I like to make Sunday mornings kind of like an intersection. I try to make these issues that we all face in life, right? And I try to intersect them with the Bible to give us help, to give us wisdom and understanding. And that's literally where this guy's at. He realizes he's messed up. And he's probably had the thought at some point, it doesn't say this, but I'm sure he wondered, like, is there any way I could maybe cover this up? Is there any way this will go away? Is there any way that this is going to get better? Right? But he realizes, no, because I'm sitting here thinking, you know what? I really would like to eat some of that pig food right about now. Okay, that's how bad this guy is. It says, and when he came to himself, so he came to his senses, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger." So again, look at verse number 18, and notice what he says, right? This is where he starts to do the last half of Proverbs 11:2, and he decides, I'm going to be lowly, I'm going to be humble, okay? This is a wise decision that he does here. Verse 18, "I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee." Verse 19, "and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." So this is the conversation that he is having inside of himself, with himself. Very important to understand, okay? Because a lot of us sometimes we'll have this conversation with ourselves, and then all of a sudden we'll get to the point where we have to deliver what we discuss with ourselves, and we go the other direction, okay? That's what's going on. But he decides to actually follow through. But look at verse number 20. It says, "And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." So the first thing that I see here that we need to be aware of here, when you want to make an apology, when you get to that place in your heart where you realize, okay, hey, I messed up, I'm going to take the lowly route, I'm going to take that route of humility, is to actually express your regret. Actually express your regret. You say, what is an apology? The definition of apology is an expression of regret, of remorse, of wrongdoing. That's what it is. That's what the dictionary definition says. You say, well, what's theology? What's the study of religious subjects? Okay, so that's what we're doing. We're taking this subject apart through the Bible. But here's the thing, okay? The prodigal son, he realizes how bad he is. He has this conversation with himself, and he decides, you know what, I'm actually going to follow through with this. I'm going to express regret. I'm not just simply going to say, hey, I'm sorry, right? Don't ever just do that. If you're sitting here wondering, like, hey, I apologize to these people, and they're still mad at me, it could possibly be because all you did was, hey, sorry about that. You know, hey, I'm sorry, right? No, it needs to be more than that. Sorry for what? Look at what he says here. "I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants." Right? He's expressing regret there. Okay? He's not simply just going to go to his father and say, hey, sorry about that. Kind of messed up. I had a boss that used to say it like this. He would say, there's been a miscalculation. That's what he would say. When I was in the military, this guy would say, there's been a miscalculation. And I'm thinking, man, you're dumb. That's what it is. There ain't no miscalculation. You're just wrong. Obviously, I'm not going to say that, but, you know, that's what I was thinking. Go to Psalm chapter 51. Psalm chapter 51. And so the application here is very simple, very easy, but extremely difficult to do. Tell them what you are sorry for, okay? Okay, because think about this. You know, ask yourself, what does an apology mean to you? Right? And then it starts to become a little bit more real, right? You want to actually hear that person say what they're sorry for, don't you? Isn't that what we teach the kids? Hey, sorry for punching so-and-so in the cheek when they weren't looking, right? Tell them what you were sorry for. And I can remember growing up watching these stupid sitcoms, you know, and the dad was always the one in trouble. And sometimes that's just how it is, you know. I can relate, you know, a lot of you guys can't, but... right? But what would they do in these stupid shows, right? There's, I'm sorry, and then everything would be all better, you know? That's because they were made by the world. The world doesn't understand apology theology. They don't understand what a real apology means, how to actually mend relationships. They don't care. They just want money, and they just want your soul. That's what they're after, okay? But the Bible is teaching us here a very, very great principle. Tell what you are sorry for. And you, I mean, look, you're going to see how this intersects with 1 John, right? Because what does the Bible say? You know, that we need to confess our sins. And if we do so, right, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So, a quick illustration here. Psalm chapter 51. Look at verse number 14. So this is obviously David here speaking. And I want you to notice what he says, right? And if anybody ever had some apologies and made some apologies is David, okay? And, I mean, we could sit here all day and contrast Saul and David, but we've already done that. But I think this is very important here. Look at verse 14. Psalm 51, verse 14. Look what David says. Deliver me from blood guiltiness. From blood guiltness. Does anybody in here think David had some blood guiltiness in his life? Yeah, right? He doesn't simply just say, Lord, just forgive me for like everything. Just kind of like a blanket statement. I'm not necessarily saying there's anything inherently wrong with just doing that, because obviously we do things all the time that we don't even realize are sin. Whatsoever's not of faith is sin. We have foolish thoughts, whatever, okay? But this is something very specific that David knows is hindering his relationship with God. And he actually confesses what he did, what is plaguing him, what is terrorizing him. Deliver me from blood guiltness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. Okay, that fits all through the book of 1 John, all through that. He understands if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, is what it says in 1 John, right? And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, right? So even God teaches us, even the Lord Jesus Christ teaches us how to restore fellowship with him, right? It's to actually confess what we did. So why would it be any different when we need to make an apology to someone else? It's not. It's the same exact thing. We need to tell that person, hey, not just, I'm sorry. Yeah, there's been a little mistake, right? I would love to do that. In fact, I'm always tempted to do that. Now, there's been a, you know, been a misunderstanding here. Now I messed up. Okay, and here's how. Look at verse 15. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Who's ever known they've been in trouble with the Lord before? Right, everybody in here. Right? And what's the solution here? Exactly what David is saying. Just confess what you did, what is plaguing you to the Lord. It's done. He's not like us, right? Because we still hold grudges. And we'll talk about this as the series goes on. We still hold grudges. Just because you forgive doesn't mean you forget. It, you know, we'll get into that at a later time. But it's when it comes to the Lord and we confess these things, right? He's just like, hey, it's a done deal. You're back in fellowship. Let's go. Right? And then now you feel better. Now you feel more like praising God and doing the things of God. Look at verse 16. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. Okay, that sums up Saul, right? 1 Samuel chapter 15. Look at verse 17. It says this. The sacrifices of God are. Okay, know this, understand this, because this is very important. Somebody asks you or gives you a test question. Hey, you know, what are the sacrifices of God? These would be some things you would want to say. A broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Okay, sometimes, you know, and I've noticed this, and I've even been there myself when we're in trouble with somebody else or with the Lord, we'll have a tendency just to kind of skip the apology, skip the admission of what we actually did and just try to, oh, let me get some flowers going, you know, let me get all these presents going, let me just try to do some offerings or some sacrifices to make things right. And it never really works, does it? You know, a lot of guys are like, hey, you know, I did this to my wife this many years ago, and she still brings it up. It could be because you never just called out what you did. Think about that for a second. And why didn't you do it? Because it's hard. Okay, the old man fights this. I know, I've been married for over 20 years, okay? This is a difficult thing to do. But what are the sacrifices of God? A broken spirit. That's what he wants to see. Why? Because he has no respect for the proud. The proud he knoweth afar off, is what the Bible says. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. That's what he wants. He wants what we're reading here in Luke chapter 15. That's the sacrifice. That's the offering that God is after. And that is how we need to be. So go back, if you would, to Luke chapter 15. So point number one, the first thing is very simple. It's to express the regret. I mean, that is what an apology is. But it's not just simply, all right, I'm sorry I messed up. Didn't mean to hit you there. Okay, now, we need to learn to actually say what we are sorry for. And that's exactly what you see here in this passage. This is what the prodigal son purposes inside of his heart. This is the conversation he decides to have with himself. But what I want you to notice is that he actually now carries it out, okay? So when he gets to the point where he's like, okay, everything's messed up. Here's what I'm going to do. He actually follows through with it. So look at verse 21. It says this. And the son said unto him. So after he goes back to his father, okay? He says this, and the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Do you notice what he did there? Who is the first person that he actually acknowledges that he sinned against? Against God, right? He says, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. So he puts God first. Now that's some wisdom there. Right? Because think about it, in marriage, right? When husband and wife are scrapping, right? You're fighting against God. You know, there are consequences on both ends of that. The Bible says that the man's prayers could be hindered because of that. It's what it says. And then obviously it's the same for the wife. But what the prodigal son does is he realizes, you know, through my riotous living, through my actions, I have actually sinned against heaven. I have made a fool. I have made a mockery of the things of God. And this is wrong. But then he says, and I've sinned against you. But he also does something else here that we oftentimes miss. And here's the second point. We need to accept responsibility and offer a solution. Offer restitution. Think about this here. A lot of stores have this figured out. A lot of companies actually have this figured out. But yet a lot of Christians today, and I've been there, we don't have this figured out. Okay? What does he do? He acknowledges, he accepts full responsibility for what he did to God, for what he did to his father, but then he offers a solution and says, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. So he says, look, I just want to be accepted back and I'm willing to live as a servant. I'm willing to do whatever it takes. How can I make this right? This is part of an apology. Not like the apology I got a few weeks ago. Which was like, I'm kind of wrong, but you're wrong here, here, and here. Okay, no, that's that ain't no apology. Okay, that is wrong theology. Look at this here again in verse number 19. And am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. This is how he feels. So he understands this. And he offers this as a solution. Now, what actually happens when his father sees him? It's forgiven. It's done. Water under the bridge. I'm not holding a grudge. I'm not going to keep bringing this up. This is another thing people do in relationships, okay? Hey, remember what you did last time? You know, remember this? Remember this? How many times do you think I've done that in my marriage? Probably did it a couple days ago. I don't know. But as I'm studying this, I'm realizing, okay, you know, how often have I actually gone forth, accepted responsibility, and then offered how to make it right? I'll be honest with you, not too many times, okay? A lot of times, I accepted responsibility. I'm good, okay? But think about this. A lot of stores, like Big Bun up the street here, okay? Big Bun, they messed up our order about 3 weeks ago. Yeah, Big Bun. And you know what they did? Said, how can we make this right? And I was just like, wow, that's cool. Don't worry about it, man. Just give me my food so I can get out of here, you know? Everything's good now. I don't care. Right? Because what happens, they messed up my order. I got halfway back here and they called and said, hey, we gave you someone else's order. You know, you can keep the food. They actually gave me a gift card. You know, I forgot the dollar amount, but it was pretty generous. Okay. What happens if Taco Bell, which is on the same street up here, messes up your order? Nothing. There's been a miscalculation. It's $1.99 for a reason, sir. Okay. I can get a job like that, dude. Okay, and I hate them. And hopefully you all do too. Go to the one on Eagle or Fairview, I don't know. Or just don't go there at all. It's probably the best advice I can give you. But you get what I'm trying to say. Accept responsibility and offer a solution. Offer some restitution, okay? That's what we need to do. How do we make this thing right? Go to Leviticus chapter number 6. Leviticus chapter number 6. You say, what are we talking about now? Well, I want you to see. I am going to bring that up next week, okay? It's important. It's time for our booster shot regarding that subject, okay? But not today. All right. I just want you to see here that this principle is actually built into the law. So when God was forming the nation of Israel and giving them the law of Moses, giving them the things to follow, he actually builds this into their law, okay? You say, well, why? Because this is something that's very important. This is how we mend relationships. This is how we make things right. That's what he wants. So Leviticus chapter number 6, look at verse number 1. It says this. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, If a soul sin and commit a trespass against the Lord, and lie unto his neighbor, and that which was delivered him to keep, or in fellowship, or in a thing taken away by violence, or hath deceived his neighbor." Okay? All these here are just categories that you need to apologize for, you need to make something right for. Look at verse 3. "Or have found that which was lost, and lieth concerning it, and sweareth falsely in any of all these that a man doeth, sinning therein." Verse 4. "Then it shall be, because he hath sinned, and is guilty, that he shall restore that which he took violently away." Okay? And here, let's just stop right there. You know, when we sin against each other, which we all do because we're human, okay? Guess what? We have kind of violated that person. We owe that person. We owe apologies, right? It's a debt that we have. God's teaching them, hey, you guys have just come out of Egypt. You need to learn how to act right. And so I'm going to build this into your law. And so he says, shall restore that which he took violently away, or the thing which he hath deceitfully gotten, or that which was delivered him to keep, or the lost thing which he found. Okay, look at verse 5. "Or all that about which he hath sworn falsely, he shall even restore it in the principal, and shall add the fifth part more thereto, and give it unto him who it appertaineth in the day of his trespass offering." Now, obviously, we don't live under Old Testament law in this nation. You could wrong people and just go to court, and whoever's got the better lawyer or the better skills in talking is probably going to win. Who's ever got the most money, okay? But we shouldn't act like that, okay? We should want to do this out of our own hearts because we want to be mature and we want to grow in the Lord. Go to Luke chapter number 19. Luke chapter number 19. And so, you know, another principle that you can glean from this, obviously, and I'm sure a lot of you do this, everybody does this, but, you know, when the kids are growing up and, you know, they're munchkins and they're little and they're learning, you know, that they need to apologize for things, make sure you teach them this, okay? Because God did this in Israel's infancy. So we need to do this to our children in their infancy as well, okay? Tell them, hey, how can I make this right? Okay, and a lot of times I think you'll be surprised that the person's like, just you saying that is enough for me to let it go and to just be good with it. I want you to see here in Luke chapter 19, Zacchaeus in verse number 8 actually talks about this here. So look at this here, Luke 19 verse 8. It says, "And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." Okay, now obviously he's kind of off in his own little world here. We don't have time to get into that. But the point is, he acknowledges that he's following that law, that he understands that, right? And it's definitely a pleasing thing to the Lord. Now go back to Luke chapter number 15, and we'll move on. Luke chapter number 15. So point number 2. We need to accept responsibility and offer a solution. Offer, how can we make this thing right? You know, that goes a long way. And again, if you're struggling in this area and you're kind of wondering, like, why aren't these apologies like sticking? This could be why. Okay, this definitely could be why. So let's move on to number 3 here. So again, look at verse number 21. Luke 15, verse 21, it says this. "And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Okay. Now, there's actually something else he's doing here, and it doesn't say it, but it's implying it. Look at verse 22. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. So the third thing that I actually want to bring up is something, it's very simple here, but it's something we often fail again to actually do, and that is to actually ask for forgiveness. You don't necessarily have to say, you know, will you please forgive me? Obviously, we want to ask, we want to do that. But what does the prodigal son do here? He's actually asking for acceptance in some capacity. He's actually making it known that he wants this mercy. He wants this forgiveness. Okay, God tells us this is what we need to do with him in order to restore our fellowship. So it's going to be the same thing with other people. We need to actually verbalize this, okay? And you say, okay, but again, why? Well, here's the thing. When we don't actually verbalize it, it implies that we feel like we don't need to or we shouldn't have to. Okay, so again, you know, these three things, and I'm sure you could pull more out, but obviously we want to offer a solution. Okay, we want to accept responsibility and all of that stuff. But actually letting the person know and verbalizing that you want that forgiveness is another huge piece to this puzzle. It goes so far, and I think that we'd all be amazed at how this turns out in your marriages, in your relationships, at your jobs, wherever you are. Go to Matthew chapter number 7. So again, when we don't verbalize it, you know, we unintentionally imply that, well, I don't really care as much as I'm trying to show you that I do care, okay? And the prodigal son here, he actually does this. I am no more worthy to be called thy son, okay? What is he saying? Hey, make me as a hired servant. I just want to be accepted again, right? And what does the father do? He blesses him, right? And the relationship is merry. So again, all three of these elements in here, what's the result? What's the end goal? Typically with most people, what's going to happen? You will begin to be merry, begin to be happy, be able to start working on that trust again. You'll be able to start working on all the things that we always talk about in this church regarding relationships. And I want to show you this here again. Matthew chapter 7, look at verse number 7. Look at what Jesus says. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. So this is how we're supposed to be with him. Well, that means this is how we should be with each other, because we're all in him. Verse 8, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. So again, not to get too far ahead in the series, you know, but what does he do when we acknowledge that we're wrong? What does he do when we ask? Now, obviously, in context here, you know, this is a great formula for prayer. We're supposed to ask. We're supposed to seek and knock. We're not just supposed to ask God for something and be like, well, I'm going to sit down right here. No, we need to constantly seek opportunities. Is this a door that God has opened or not? If not, then okay, maybe I'm going to go over here and look at this avenue, look at this door, right? And that's the formula. But it's the same thing when it comes to apology theology, right? Ask for forgiveness. Ask for that acceptance, because it shows the other person that you're actually sincere in your apologies, okay? That is so important. He says, ask and it shall be given you. So again, when someone does ask you for your forgiveness, you know, you need to start working towards that and put your pride aside and actually learn to accept this. So point number one was what? Express your regret. Don't just simply say, oh, okay, I'm sorry. Okay, there's been some confusion here. Now, sometimes, you know, if it's something silly or something stupid, yeah, that works. But in most cases where someone needs to apologize, that doesn't fly, right? Don't just say simply, I'm sorry. What are you sorry for? Okay, what is it that you actually did wrong? People want to hear that, okay? And number two, accept responsibility and offer a solution. That's what the prodigal son does here. I've sinned against heaven, right? And I've sinned against you. He's like, I've ruined my testimony, my reputation, and then he offers a solution. Hey, would you just accept me back as a servant? You know, I'll work, because it's a lot better off than where he was, okay? Offer a solution. Look, if businesses can do it, we should be able to do that, okay? offer a solution. How can I make this right? And think about Saul again, right? This is something he never did. He never was like, David, how can I make this up to you? How can I make this right? What can we do? He was just like, I've sinned. You know, you're better than me. I'm going to go over here. And then he'd stew on it and get all upset. And I'm going to get you again, okay? Point number three is actually asking for this forgiveness, okay? That's something I think a lot of times that we just miss to do. Miss a lot of these things, right? We're okay with like maybe doing one or two, but really when you think about it and you do all three of these things and you understand what an apology really is, you're going to go a lot further. You're going to grow a lot better. You're going to be way better off. And you say, again, why ask for forgiveness? Because when you don't, it implies that you don't need to or you shouldn't have to, right? Implications mean things. A lot of times, well, they didn't say that. Yeah, but they implied it, okay? They implied it. And that's what happens when we don't actually ask the other person for forgiveness. And the bottom line, the humble apologize and the proud jeopardize. So when the prodigal son got to that intersection in his heart, in his life, and realized, you know what? I can go either to the left or I can go to the right. What did he do? He took the route of the lowly, the route of the humble, and went to the right and said, you know what? This is how I'm going to act. And what happened? He wound up getting accepted, full fellowship, back into his father's house. And again, this is so important for us as believers when we find ourselves out of fellowship with God. Because like we've been learning on Sunday nights, you know, with him, it's easy. He's perfect, right? When we ask him for something like that, that's his will. That's according to his will. He wants to sup with us. He wants to fellowship with us. So when we are humble, we just simply say what we have done wrong. He forgives us. That fellowship is restored and you are back on track, ready to go. Okay. But the problem is that old man and that voice in your head starts whispering to you. And, you know, we've already talked about how to deal with that. You know, but I just wanted to bring that up because that is a real thing and that is something that we all have to manage as well. But the Bible we need to understand that the Word of God supersedes our feelings, right? I think we all get that by now in this church. The humble apologize and the proud jeopardize. They jeopardize everything, the relationships, jobs, marriages, all that stuff, okay? And that's not how we want to be as a church because then the mission stops and then we become like Rock Harbor. I hate Rock Harbor, if you haven't noticed. But anyways, the challenge this week would be to start practicing all these things. Hopefully you just wrote these things down. Write them down and actually practice them, you know? Because my guess is, if you're like me, you're going to mess something up with somebody by Wednesday. Okay? And it's just a good thing to get in the habit of doing because it just makes you the mature one. It makes you the one that is in control. Okay? And again, you know, and we'll learn this later on. If someone doesn't accept that, that's on them. You did the right thing. Okay, God accepts you when you do this. If they don't even worry about them. They're not worth your time at that point. They've got a whole nother set of issues that they need to worry about. Okay, and we'll deal with that at a later time. But I just wanted to get through this message as the introduction to apology theology. And next week, we will talk about things that we are not apologizing for. So, with that being said, let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Thank you so much, Lord, for this great wisdom in the Bible. I just pray that we would always remember these things, Lord, so that we can always mend our relationships, Lord, in the body of Christ and be able to fellowship better with church members and obviously with you, Lord, and that we continue to grow and always be seeking after your heart and what is special to you, Lord. And we want to be counted with the lowly and the humble. And I just pray, Lord, you bless the soul winning the fellowship after the service, Lord, and bring us back safely tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
All right, let's grab those hymn books one final time this morning. And we'll turn to the front of the book, song number 22. Are you washed in the blood? Amen. Song number 22, are you washed in the blood? On the first, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood? Trusting in his grace this hour, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless, are they white?
your garments? Spotless are they, white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for those mansions bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? On the last, lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Brother Moses, will you close us with a word of prayer, please?
Thank you, Lord, for this day. We pray that we all just remember the 3 points of this sermon about apologizing, and that next time we do have to apologize to somebody, that we apply those 3 points. Yeah. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.